Thanks for joining me today on this podcast. I apologize. Someone told me that the talk I did on recovery from alcoholism, part four, I sounded half dead, and I apologize. My allergies are really bad. They're burning the crops here in Topeka, and I just am sitting here trying to have a conversation, but I'll try to be more animated today. I've covered in the podcast that just previously the Great Promise, and today when we started the Zoom meetings, we finished on Wednesday night, our last Wednesday night meeting that we actually had. I finished step 10, and we did step 11, and I recorded the step 11 inventory at night, and now I'm going to do the instructions for the day, prayer and meditation. And these are powerful pages. I really believe if you live on pages 84 to 88 and you do everything in them, you will have be as spiritually fit as you can be, and you will feel the power of God in your life. And what could be better than that? We covered the nighttime review, and I said I think they started the nighttime review because they, following the tradition of the Hebrew day, starts at night. And also, when you look at night and you are able to inventory at night, then you wake up and hopefully you've dealt with the things that disturbed you and your character defects and your self-centeredness that cause that those problems, and you've dealt with those attitudes and you've taken the actions to face and be rid of them. You've made your amends, you've discussed them with someone, you've asked God's forgiveness, and you inquire, I always inquire, what corrective measures should be taken. I ask God to forgive me and guide me on what I need to do different, what I need to do better, to give me His knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And that's really what that line means. We ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be. And then it says, on awakening, so we wake up, let us think about the 24 hours today ahead. So I should just need to stay in the day. I think it says in the New Testament, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough problems of itself. And I don't want to be in yesterday, because then I can't be in the moment in the day. So hopefully I've dealt with yesterday at night. And then I just want to stay in the 24 hours ahead. I don't want to go into tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow doesn't exist. It's only in my mind if I bring it in. And if I bring in tomorrow, then I'm bringing in fear and relying on self to change what tomorrow may bring, and it isn't even tomorrow. I try not to live that way. It's hard. It says, I consider my plans for the day. So I wake up, I consider my plans for the day. But before I begin, I have to first, and why do they say this? Before I begin thinking about my plans for the day, because I don't want to do my plans. I want to do God's plans. So I ask God to direct my thinking. I say this every morning. I try to say it the first thing when I wake up. I say, God, direct my thinking. Especially, God, that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. You know, self-pity is an excessive concern with oneself and one's problems and one's life. I want my motives to be honest. I want them to be not self-seeking motives, seeking for self, seeking for things. I want to be honest about my actions during the day and what is my motivation. Is my motivation to serve God, or is it to serve others, or is it to serve Michael? So I try to do that immediately before I get out of bed. And why do I do that? Because I have to admit my powerlessness over not only alcohol, but managing my life. I have to stay connected to my first step. It's the surrender. I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering immediately by asking God, making a decision to ask God to direct my life and my thinking and my actions today, and especially be divorced from self-seeking, dishonest, and self-pity. And remember, your motives drive your actions. So I have to watch my motives all the time. Who am I trying to please? Am I trying to please Michael or God? Am I trying to please self or my creator? Now, under these conditions where God is directing my thinking, divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, I can use my mental faculties, my mind, with assurance. That's a key word. I can be assured that I'm using my mind properly when my thinking is divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, and God is directing me. So that's when I can use my mind. When my mind is divorced from me and centered on God. And it says, for after all, God gave us brains to use. So I get my brain back on page 86, and on page 87 is where I get my will back. So I have to do everything up to this point, and to be able to be free of the bondage of my resentments and fears and all everything from the day before and the past, to be able to start the day with God directing my thinking, divorcing me from my self-centered motives. And then I can use my mind with assurance. For God did give me a brain to use, although sometimes I really wonder when I look back. And here's the key line. My thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. This is a key line. Now, my thought life is the life that goes on in my head. And my thought life determines how I see everything, how I see every situation. Everything that happens through the day depends on where my thought life is. If my thought life is placed in a much higher plane, it's centered on God and service and not Michael, then things will go well. If my thought life is based on my self-centeredness and then my character defects are activated, my life is on a low plane. So what kind of plane is your thought life on today? And then in step 10, we inventory my thought life all day long. It says, where was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, or afraid? Watch for this. Ask God at once to remove it. So my thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So when my thinking is not cleared of wrong motives, I'm in deep doo-doo. My thought life is no good. I'm not in fit spiritual condition. I don't like the way things are going in the world. I'm judging everything. And I can't be of service to myself and God. And I can't have any peace and serenity. So this paragraph is really key. It's one I think you could read every morning. I have some people read pages 84 to 88 every day. I've done this so much that I have them essentially memorized, and I just try to say this paragraph every morning before I get out of bed. I want my life, my thought life, on a high plane today, God. I want to use my mind with assurance when I know it's connected to you. Then it talks about in thinking about our day. So this is the meditation they're talking about in prayer and meditation. Somebody described it that they meditate on something, on a thought. They used to do their quiet time, they would meditate on verses, especially the book of James. And they would meditate, and then they would have quiet time, meditate, and then write down what was revealed to them, and then share that. And that's how AA really was in the beginning. That's how the founders practiced the prayer and meditation. So I may face indecision. Why do they put this here? Because I don't want to know what to do all the time. I want to be indecisive at times. I want to question what I should be doing. I don't want to react anymore to situations if my thought life is not on a high plane. And we're going to get to that maybe on the next podcast, that we need to pause. So in thinking about my day, I may face indecision. So what am I going to do when I have indecision? And this is key. And so I have to recognize that I don't have to be decisive all the time. That being indecisive is okay. It's all right. And, you know, that was very useful in my medical practice. I would face difficult situations all the time where there were several options, often none of them good. Remember, I was a cancer doctor, and I would see bad situations. But I would say to the patient, I said, you know, I'm not sure what I should be doing here. We have several options. I'd explain them. They'd see their pictures, their x-rays. I'd say, you know, I want to think about it, and I want to pray about it. I want to see what God reveals to me. And I was never embarrassed to say that, I think. And then at night or in the morning, I would wake up and I would think of something, and it would be clear to me that this was the right action. And that would happen a lot. They're going to talk that it's the plane of inspiration that God will give us if we allow Him. So I want to ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. So when I face indecision and I'm not sure what the right action is to take, or if I'm disturbed or bothered at all by anything, I want to say to God, give me inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision on what I should do right now. And if you're looking at your book, page 86, you look right across, and it say the final instruction on the steps, the final instruction on the action steps of Alcoholics Anonymous to maintain a spiritual awakening, a power in your life, is as you go through the day, you pause when agitated or doubtful. And I'm going to talk about that probably the next podcast, maybe today. So I want to ask God, when I'm indecisive and I see a situation in front of me and I recognize that it's a situation, and how am I going to react to it? So I want to be inspired by God. I want to get an intuitive thought. I want to rely on this sixth sense that we talked about on page 85, this God consciousness, this awareness of God. I want to be open to it. I can't be open to it if I don't ask God for it. It says, then you can relax and take it easy. You don't have to struggle. Why? Because you've given it to God. You've asked God. You're not in charge anymore. So you can relax and take it easy. We're often inspired how that right answers come after we have tried this for a while. The right answers, not the wrong answers. And people always talk about doing the next right thing. I have to make sure the right answers is coming from God's inspiration, from an intuitive thought placed in me by God, or a decision based on God's will for me. And so the higher plane is the God plane, and that's where I want my thought life on, and the lower plane is my plane. And so if you have indecision today, you have a situation, something that confronts you, you're going to know already, you meditate on this in the morning, that when this comes, I'm going to ask God to give me the inspiration, the intuitive thought or decision. And it says, what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. So now we have a part of our mind that's actually working towards centered on God's inspiration, God's direction, what God's plan is for me. The working part of the mind. And so it says, being inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Well, I could see this in myself. I can look back and say, you know, that was an absurd action and idea. That wasn't really God's intuitive thought or plan. I wasn't using the working part of my mind that was centered on God. And that I don't want to do that anymore. And you learn when you inventory at night, you look back during the day and you constructively review it. Do you owe an apology? Were you kind and loving? What could I have done better? Where was I at fault? And so these are all tied together. It says, having just made conscious contact with God. Now, how did that happen? Well, it happens when you work steps 1 through 9 and you're living in the world of the Spirit. So in the beginning, you're just beginning to make conscious contact. Now, when you've had years of doing this every day and trying to live on pages 84 to 88, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of you that you want to ask God for the direction. You don't, when you're indecisive or you feel like you're getting off course, you want to stop and say, I need to get back on the beam. This is how you use 6 and 7 all the time. So it says that as you do this, our thinking will, as time passed, be more and more the plane of inspiration. God's voice, God's direction, your inner conscious, your conscious contact. You'll just know. You'll know it. Something will happen. And if you've done this, it's the sixth sense. You just know this is the right thing that God wants me to do right now. We come to rely upon it. So you want to rely upon this God-conscious sixth sense, and not upon yourself and your thought life and your plane. You want your mind to be on a higher plane, a different plane. And you want to rely on it so you can, whenever anything's disturbing you or you don't like the way anything is, you just say, wait, time out here. I'm probably on the left-hand side of the spiritual checklist. I'm back in self. I need to stop. And I come to God and I say, God, give me inspiration. Give me an intuitive thought or a decision. Direct me here. Tell me how I should react. Help me practice the opposite of my character defects. And you rely upon it. It helps you stay in conscious contact. And then they're talking about what you do. How do you conclude your meditation? What do you pray each day? And then you use these things all day. So all day long, I want my thought life to be on a higher plane. I want my thinking to be divorced from wrong motives. When I have any indecision or anything comes up, I want to ask God for the inspiration. I want to rely on my conscious contact, my sixth sense. So here's the powerful line in the big book that I hear at meetings, but I'm not sure that it's actually this. It says, we usually conclude the period of meditation, so I want to pray. And I do this. It's part of my daily prayer life. God, show me all through the day what my next step is to be. So I hear people say, I'm just going to do the next right thing. Well, it sounds great. Who wouldn't? Why would that ever be wrong? Because I did the next right thing all the time and made a mess in my life. Because the next right thing was what I thought was the next right thing. And my motives weren't divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking. And my thought life was on a low plane, me. And I wasn't allowing God's inspiration into my life. And it was my inspiration. And so I want to be shown all through the day what my next step is to be by you, God. And that's where these three paragraphs all tie together. So during the day, I have to constantly ask God, what's the next step? God's next step for me, not Michael's next step, and God help me with it. There's a distinction. I don't know what the next step is on my own. Why? Because I can't manage my life. So I need God constantly to direct me and tell me what the next step is to be. And I have to ask for that. So this again is when we're watching during the day and things come up and we go to God. These four pages are basically go to God all the time for everything. God is everything, I'm nothing. And if I'm disturbed or fearful or angry or any kind of uneasiness, I got to get back to God. And these pages have the specific instructions. So after I ask what I should be shown all through the day, what my next step is to be, that I be given whatever I need to take care of such problems. So I want knowledge of God's will for me, and I want the power to carry it out. So God, show me through the day what my next step is to be, how I can carry out your will, and give me the power to do it, to take care of such problems. So any problems or anything that arises in your day that has you off balance or off the beam, you're going to ask God, how should I handle this situation, and give me whatever I need to take care of it. Now here's the third thing that I'm supposed to do all day long. Ask especially for freedom from self-will. Why? Because my self-will has killed me. Remember, your self-will is how you're trying to run your life based upon what you think matters to fulfill your instincts of life in your sex life, your material life, and your emotional life. And whenever you do that, you're back in self-will, you're separated from God, and you're in bondage to your self-will, your thinking, and what you think you have to need, and how you have to get it, and you're angry because they're not giving you what you need, and you're afraid because they're going to take it away, and your life is an effing mess. So I don't want to get back in the self-will. So I want to be free from it. And here's the key. I don't make any requests for myself only. Only thing I ask for myself is, God, show me throughout the day what my next step is to be, and give me whatever I need to take care of such problems. And I want to be free from self-will. And I don't ask for things. I don't ask for things. I ask for direction. I ask for power. I ask for God's knowledge. I'll get whatever I need if I stay close to Him and do His work well. What is my work for you today? How do I stay close to you? And it says, we ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. That doesn't mean that you ask for a bigger car so you can take more people to the meetings. You want to ask for yourselves how I can be service. Now, I do ask God, how can I be of service today? Who can I help? Show me. Show me, bring into my consciousness who I should call, who I should reach out to. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Never. It's not maybe. Never to pray for my own selfish ends. Because once I start praying for my selfish ends, then I can't receive God's direction. I can't receive God's guidance. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. And it doesn't work. I wasted a lot of time thinking about myself, trying to fulfill what I think I needed, asking God to kind of be my co-pilot. I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want to be the passenger, and I want Him to be the pilot. And He'll fly me where I need to go, not ask God to help me get where I want to go. And you wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. On the next page, they're going to say it works. It really does. But here they say it doesn't work. It doesn't work to pray for your selfish ends. It doesn't pray to ask for yourself. It doesn't pray for you to decide what you need to do all day long to handle your problems. It's God. And God will work only when I stop managing. Page 63. It says, if circumstances warrant, We ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong in a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. So here's where we look to see where others are right. It doesn't say only read AA-approved literature. We want people to join us in our meditation. We want to look at religious denominations, their devotions. If we may select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. The principles: seeking God's power and direction, a new relationship, fellowship with my human beings, walking in the light with God. Now, the one I like to do is look at the St. Francis prayer. And I like to read that. I want to be a channel of God's peace. I look at all the things it asks me to bring into every situation. I want to understand and comfort, not be understood or comforted. And I want to self-forget that I'm going to find God. And that prayer to me really is the whole deal. Now, how do I follow through in that prayer all day long is these actions and this prayer meditation inventory on these four pages. And here's a great line. Be quick to see, not see, be quick to see where religious people are right. What do they mean by that? Let go of my old ideas. Let go of them. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Look to see how people can help you. God will put people in your life to help you. Listen to them. Be quick to see where religious people are right. I was always quick to see where religious people were wrong. And I was wrong. I had a lot of old ideas that were all wrong. So I want to be quick to see where other people are right and where I was wrong. And remember, I get freedom in the bondage to self the more I'm wrong. The more I'm wrong, the freer I get. I'm wrong again, wrong again. Uncover, discover, discard all that isn't God. Make use of what they offer. And so I hope this was helpful. I think I was more animated today. I apologize for the last few sessions. I was like making like a conversation. And I hope this was better. Next podcast is going to be on the powerful pause and all that that means, and I'm going to talk about faith without works is dead. Everyone stay safe. God bless.